Seal of the Spirit is the title of the study. Here's Brother E.C. Moore.
2 Corinthians chapter 1. Notice in verse, we'll start in verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1:20. For all the promises of God in him are yea, and in him amen, unto the glory of God by us. Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ, and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us, and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. Now turn to Ephesians chapter 1. I'm going to start reading in verse 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory who first trusted in Christ, verse 13, in whom you also trusted, after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession unto the praise of his glory. Now, there's several things that I know by reading that verse. For instance, in verse 14, I know that the Holy Spirit given unto us now not only seals us, but it is the guarantee of our inheritance that is referred to in the context. Look in verse 11, a reference to Jesus Christ, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance. So I know the inheritance then that is referred to is not something you work for. It is not something that will be taken away from you if you don't live as some independent, fundamental, premillennial preacher who is always trying to charge hell with a water bucket is trying to tell you to get you in the aisle, to get you to come to the altar or something like that. It isn't that. They're always pulling out verses out of the Bible to frighten you and make you believe that if you don't walk according to their denominational system, you'll be left behind at the rapture, go through the tribulation, be punished, and miss your inheritance. But that's not the case here. Compare Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 14, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, that is, to apprehend is to grab something, and it's like someone who's running from the law and they're apprehended. And that's not that good an illustration, but nevertheless, Paul was chasing something, so to speak. In other words, he has a tremendous desire to be like as if he had been resurrected from the dead. He has a tremendous desire that his life on the face of the earth would be as if he literally had died and been resurrected. But he said, I've not apprehended that yet. I've not attained that. I've not gotten a hold of it yet. Now, in verse 13, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, like the things that you could brag about religiously, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, which is in Christ Jesus. There's some of the brethren today who preach verse 14 and say, in effect, I press toward the mark for the prize, which is the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. But that's not it at all. Our inheritance is a heavenly inheritance. It is a settled thing. It was accomplished for us at Calvary. And you don't do something to attain unto it. In other words, you are not going to miss the rapture. You see, in Philippians chapter 4, the resurrection in a literal sense, I'm sorry, Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, notice, verse 11, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead, not as though I'd already attained, either were already perfect. But wait a minute. If that's the resurrection that will happen when the dead are raised incorruptible and we're caught up, if he's talking about that, it makes no sense. Why? Bless God, you will go no matter what you've obtained. In other words, Christ died for us that he might deliver us from this present evil world and on and on and on. So when the rapture comes, we that are saved by the grace of God, we're goodbye. I mean, we're gone, folks. You don't have to attain unto it. You don't have to work to gain it. It is a part of the blessing and the grace of God that was attained for you by the death of Christ at Calvary. Back in Ephesians and Luke again now. In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 13, in whom, a reference to Christ, you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that you believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Verse 14, which is the earnest? It's the guarantee. The Holy Spirit is our guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession of the praise of His glory. So we're guaranteed every day of our lives if we have the Holy Spirit. Now, you can't have the Holy Spirit by working for your salvation. That's the clicker. That's the... Hey, if you believe that you'll be saved by repenting of your sins, confessing your sins, or being baptized for remission of sins, keeping the commandments and holding out to the end, then you ain't got the Holy Spirit. Now, you may have a spirit that is a powerful spirit, but it isn't the Holy Spirit. It's another spirit, as in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, if that be the case. But we that have trusted Christ as our Lord and Savior, believing that He died for our sins and buried and rose again, have the Holy Spirit as a sealing element, not as a power element. Back in Acts chapter 1, the Lord told the apostles, tarry you at Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high, and you shall be witnesses. That power that they had gave them the power to suffer the flames of being burned to death for what they believed. It gave them the power to be cast into a den of lions and watch that lion rush upon them and grab them by an arm and another grab them by a leg and put that power of that Holy Spirit gave them the power to die for their salvation. Well, you don't need to do that. Why? Jesus Christ already accomplished that for you at Calvary. It's already a done deal. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Trust the Lord Jesus Christ, believing that He died for you. It's accomplished. The inheritance goes with it. Now, the sealing of the Holy Spirit. First, I want to talk to you just a minute about the meaning. Go back with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. Now the context is Abraham. Notice in verse 3, what saith the Scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Now, Abraham then, in a manner of speaking, is a type in the Old Testament Scriptures. Now notice in verse 9, cometh this blessedness then upon the circumcision only, or upon the uncircumcision also? For we say that faith is reckoned to Abraham for righteousness. How was it then reckoned? When he was in circumcision or in uncircumcision? Not in circumcision, but in uncircumcision. In other words, this faith, this righteousness, which is by faith, was imputed to him before he was ever circumcised. In other words, he didn't get it by being circumcised. Now, verse 11. And he received the sign of circumcision. Then circumcision was a token, it's a sign. A seal of the righteousness of the faith which he had, being yet uncircumcised. In other words, God told Abraham, he said, Abraham, he said, I'm here. He said, walk before me and be thou perfect, on and on and on. I'm going to make my covenant with you. And he said, you must circumcise yourself and your sons. Abraham did it, which is a sign of the faith that he had. In other words, God said, your seed will outnumber the stars of heaven. He believed God. Then God said, okay, you believe me. Yeah? All right, circumcise yourself and your children. In other words, him doing that was a token of or a sign of the fact that he believed what God said. Many people put water baptism in there today. They say that water baptism is a sign or a token of the faith that you have. Therefore, if you're saved, you will get baptized, they say. That's the idea. But that's all wrong. It was at one time, but it isn't to you. In other words, back in Acts chapter 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so forth, those who believed in Christ, believed that he was the Messiah, the Son of God, when they believed, were identified with him in water baptism. In other words, they signified by the baptism that they believed that just as Christ died, so would they. He said, take up your cross and follow me. Deny yourself. Take up your cross and follow me. What about Jesus Christ? Well, Jesus Christ was baptized back here. Then he went to Calvary and died. He said, I have a baptism to be baptized with. That's death. As he hung on Calvary, he left his human body, went down into the lower parts of the earth. All right, these over here who believe in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. After 3 days and three nights, he was resurrected. They who believed that and believed what he told them in Matthew 16 and so forth were willing to die. So they were identified with him in baptism saying, I believe that Christ is the Messiah, the Son of the living God, and that he's going to come again. Therefore, they went into a so-called watery grave, believing by coming out of there that when they die, in other words, they were put to death for their faith. They went down. He has the keys to hell and death. They believed that they would be resurrected as he was resurrected. And so the baptism was a sign are a seal of that which they believed. But with us, this is not true. There's something else that is. In fact, the passage says in Ephesians chapter 4 that one Lord, well, he said one faith, one Lord, one baptism. And so we know that that one baptism is the baptism by the Spirit of God into the body of Christ. Now, so the meaning, I want to read you something out of a dictionary here that's over 100 years old. This dictionary was written in about 1825 or something like that. It's a Webster's dictionary. Listen to what he says. What is sealing? What does it mean? It is any act of confirmation. That which confirms, ratifies, or makes stable, to shut up, or confine, or secure, to mark, or identifies evidence of ownership. Now, the evidence of ownership had to do with a mark. Go back to Exodus 21 and notice something else back here that is also a seal and it's a sign. In Exodus chapter 21, now, I'm not going to read every verse in there, but the issue here is that a man buys a slave. And he keeps him a period of time. After a period of time, he tells that slave, you're free to go. You don't have to serve me anymore. You're free to leave me. But the slave says, I don't want to go. I mean, I like it here. I like you. I want to serve you. So here's what he's to do. Verse 5, if the servant shall plainly say, I love my master, my wife, my children, I will not go out free. Then his master shall bring him unto the judges. He shall also bring him to the door, or to the doorpost. and his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. In other words, when he puts that hole in his earlobe there, that is a sign that he belongs to this man, willingly belongs to him. And I suspect that Galatians chapter 6, Paul said, I bear the marks in my body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I suspect that in a manner of speaking, he's saying the same thing. In other words, my service to the Lord is evident by the marks that are upon my body. So then, to be sealed is to be marked. The way it was at one point back there, the king had a ring. Let's just say that this right here represents a ball of wax. That wax was flattened out, and the king took his ring and pressed it down on that ball of wax and made an imprint on there, and that was his seal. And they sealed things with that wax and that king's ring, that print on there, it was sealed. Now, our seal is the Holy Spirit of God. Now, the first thing I want to mention to you is that we that are saved by the grace of God are sealed by word of mouth. We're sealed. How do we know? How do I know where the dove is saved or not? How do I know where the Tommy, how do I know whether you're saved or not? By word of mouth. I don't have another sign. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Now watch something. Turn to John and take John chapter 6. In John chapter 6. All right, in John chapter 6, verse 27, Jesus is the speaker. He said, John 6, 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. For him hath God the Father sealed. Well, how did God seal him? Go back in Matthew chapter 3. In Matthew chapter 3, Jesus Christ is baptized. Verse 16. And Jesus, when he was baptized, went up straightway out of the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and lighting upon him. And lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. In other words, God is a spirit. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit. So God said, this is my beloved Son. Him hath God the Father sealed. This is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. Turn, please, to chapter 17. Chapter 17. Matthew 17. The apostles are on the Mount of Transfiguration, as it is called. Verse 3. Jesus is transfigured before them. Now, verse 3. Behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here three tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. Behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear you him. Now, turn, please, hold on there, and turn to 2 Peter. 2 Peter. All right, in 2 Peter, chapter 1. Verse 17, make it 16. We have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory, when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, "This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased." This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. All right, God sealed him. God sealed him with the Spirit. God, the seal was the voice. The voice is saying, "This is my Son." In other words, if God said, "Frank is my Son," and I knew it was God, I would never question whose son Frank is. Says he said, "Yes, he's sealed." You see, every letter you write, you seal with your name. A woman asked me the other day, a salesperson, "What is your legal name?" And I said, "Moore." She wasn't satisfied with that. She wanted my given, which is my first name, legally, on my birth certificate, I am a Moore. That's my daddy's name. The seal is my birth certificate. Say, "Who are you?" "Here's my birth certificate. It's in the courthouse. It's filed. I'm sealed." I mean, my father testified to the fact, the doctor testified to the fact, and on it goes, "This is E.C. Moore." Bingo. I'm sealed. God said, "This is my beloved Son." The Holy Spirit said, "This is my beloved Son." Him who God the Father sealed. The Holy Spirit sealed him. How? By stating who he is. Now watch, in 2 Peter chapter 3, chapter 1, notice verse 19. "We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light," and on and on and on. He's talking about the Bible. Now turn the page down there and leave it that way. We're going back there later on. Now, then the seal of the Holy Spirit is by word of mouth to the believer. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Notice how it can be. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 3. "Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus cursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is the Lord but the Holy Ghost." You know what that tells me? That tells me that over 50% of those that are in seminaries today don't believe that Jesus Christ. In other words, that tells me they're lost. That tells me they're not led by the Holy Spirit. You know why? Because in surveys taken, they deny that Jesus was raised from the dead, that he was accursed, that Jesus died and wasn't resurrected. Look at it again, verse 3. "Wherein do I give you to understand that no man speaking with the Spirit of God calleth Jesus cursed?" If they say that Jesus Christ wasn't resurrected, then they believe he was accursed. That tells me that Farrakhan is accursed. Farrakhan, I heard him by his own mouth on television say that Jesus Christ died for his own sins. He didn't say Jesus Christ died for my sins. He said he died for his sins. He does not believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He believes that Jesus Christ is the Son of God just the same as he believes he's the Son of God, and on. No difference. He's accursed. No man by the Spirit of God says Jesus is accursed. But on the other hand, look at the other side of the coin. That no man can say Jesus is the Lord but by the Holy Ghost. In other words, Christ speaking through you is the testimony that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. Illustration. Fellow comes in the door over there. He said, "I've been watching here, and I'd like to be a member of this congregation." Of course, we don't have membership rolls here, but assuming we did. And he said, "How can I become a member?" And I said, "Well, we receive membership people into membership by word of mouth. give us a word of testimony. The fellow said, well, thank God I heard and I repented, and I've repented of my sins, and I confessed my sins at an old-fashioned altar, and I've repented, and I've been baptized for remission of my sins, and I'm keeping the commandments, and I've got the baptism of the Holy. I mean, he goes, I said, sorry about that. We are welcome to stay here, and you're welcome to listen and whatever, but I'm afraid we couldn't take you as a member. Same scenario. Guy walks in, said, hey, I'd like to be a member of this congregation. How can I be a member of this congregation? I said, well, we receive members by word of confirmation. Tell us what you believe. He said, well, I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins on Calvary, was buried and rose again, and I trusted him, and I believe that he paid for my sins, and I'm saved by the grace of God. Oh, yes, I'm saved. I hadn't any doubt in my mind about it. And I said, well, hey, is there anything you could do from here on whereby God might say, well, depart from me, you work of iniquity. He said, well, no, I don't believe that could happen. Jesus Christ was held accountable for my sins, and therefore God's not going to hold me accountable. I said, come on, have a church. We're glad to have you. You see, the man's seal that he is sealed with the Holy Spirit is that he speaks by the Holy Spirit, saying the things that the Holy Spirit wrote in this book. So, the seal is by word of mouth. Now, believing, see, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Has to do with the confession. The Holy Spirit leads the confession, and therefore, you might fool somebody for a little while, but you couldn't keep on doing it. If you hadn't really trusted Christ, your Lord and Savior, you're going to be like some people that I could call their name, and you know who they are, who said, I'm saved. One of them went to work for me. And he worked for me for a year or two, and he got under conviction. You see, he'd been confessing Christ, and it was a misconception. He wasn't saved. And so one night in a Bible class, he really got under conviction. And when we got back home, he said, Brother Moore, I need to talk to you about something. We went around private there, and he said, I'm lost. Well, that night, the fellow got saved. Well, then things changed. The confession changed. Everything changed. You see, you might fool God. I mean, fool people, but you can't fool God. You might go on around and say, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. I'm a believer. I'm a Christian. But you see, the Holy Spirit has to lead in that confession that Jesus Christ died for your sins. And if the Holy Spirit leads in that confession, then there is not going to be any doubt in your mind about the eternal security that you have in Christ. Why? Because if Jesus Christ paid for all your sins, then they're all paid for. All right? The seal is by word of mouth. Number two, the seal is by the Word of God. Now, before going, I want to tell you something. Years ago, as a country boy up in Alabama, on the farm, we canned things in the summer and whatever to carry us over through the fall. And so we used to put it in tin cans. Used to put them in jars. And there was a time back there that I remember, I'd say during the so-called Depression days, that the county or a state or somebody had some canneries that were mobile, and they'd bring them into the community, and you could carry your canned goods there, you carry your vegetables and stuff there, and put them in cans, and they had the thing that would seal the can for you. They had a way of doing that. Now, you had to have a label. I mean, you just got a bunch of cans on a shelf there and say, well, what are you going to fix for lunch today? Well, I'm going to fix black-eyed peas. Well, not black-eyed peas. I'm going to fix field peas and so you reach up there and you get a can and you carry them in there and you open that can. It's got peaches in it. Had no identification. Sealed. But no identification. So, written words were stamped on that can. Peaches, peas, beans, and so forth. So you look at that can, and by words written on there, you say, well, that's a can of peaches. We are sealed by words of the Holy Spirit that are found in a book called the Bible. How do I know that I'm a son of God? Because God said that I am. Say, you haven't heard the Lord speak. No, I've read His words in a book. So, I go to my sister's cabinet up in Alabama. And she says, before y'all leave, get some of this canned stuff and carry it back home with you, and so forth. So I go in there, and I reach up there, and how do I know what I'm getting? I know by the label that is on it. She canned it. She sealed it. But I identify it by the label that's on it. And I carry it back home. There's no mistake about it. Now, look in the Bible. Turn, please, to 2 Timothy, chapter 3. Listen what Paul says here. Give me just a second. That's not what I want. I want 2 Timothy. Let's see now. Yeah, I want 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. And that from a child thou hast known the holy scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. All scriptures given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Now turn again. I ask you to turn the page down. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 1. 2 Peter 1, verse 18. This voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the Holy Mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy. Whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light which shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time but the will of man. Holy men of God spake as they were moved of the Holy Ghost. Now, so I know I've got the Holy Spirit's words written in a book. Now, they weren't written in a book back there when Jesus was baptized that day. The Holy Spirit said, this is my beloved Son. On the Mount of Transfiguration, He said, this is my Son. I'm well pleased on and on. So that's what the Holy Spirit said. Now, what does the Holy Spirit say about us? Well, His words are loud and clear. Turn, please, to Romans. Now, Paul said, I know in whom I believed, and I'm persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. And the Bible tells me in Ephesians chapter 1, where we already read, that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. Now, Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, verse 14. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you've not received the spirit of bondage again unto fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby you cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself, here it is, the Spirit itself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. Now, let's just say that here is a man, and he's two parts. This is his flesh, and this is his spirit. Now, I'm going to put word in here. So, how does this individual know? See, the Spirit beareth witness with our spirit. I'll do it like this. I'll see here is his spirit that he was born with, and here is the Spirit of Almighty God. So how does this man know that he's a child of God? Because the Holy Spirit bears witness to his spirit. How? While he's sitting in a dark corner meditating? No. Does the Lord talk to him? No. He speaks through his holy word. The Holy Spirit says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, written in Acts chapter 16, verse 31. The Holy Spirit says that God would have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. There is one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. The Bible says that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto Himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. The Bible says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. It is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What is that gospel? That Christ died for our sins, and that He was buried, and that He rose again. So what did God say? God said, believe the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. What is it? Christ died for your sins, He was buried, and He rose again. Then if you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again, if He is your Lord and Savior, the book that told you the gospel also tells you that you are a child of God, and that the Spirit of God is in you, and therefore, you don't need to worry about what the denominational system says about it. They say, well, I don't believe you're a Christian. Why? Well, you don't look like one. Well, what do one look like? What do you think I'm supposed to do? Wear a toga and a pair of sandals? What I do to prove I'm a child of God? Go into a den of lions? I mean, you know, some guy going around with a sheet wrapped around him, you know, and sandals on his feet. I don't know if y'all ever heard of him. There used to be some people up there around Atmore, and they called them the goat men. And the reason they did, because they went all around this country up there, and they said they were Moses and Elijah. And they had white sheets wrapped around them, wore sandals, and they had some goats. And the goats would feed along on the highway, and they'd preach, you know, we're Moses and Elijah. Get ready, the Lord's coming. Baloney. Now, I know I'm a child of God. How do I know? Because God told me. How did He tell me? Through His Bible. The Holy Spirit of God spoke to my spirit through the book. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. First Corinthians 2, verse 9. But as it is written, I have not seen nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them. 11, verse 10. But God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yea, the deep things of God. For what man knoweth the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? In other words, I understand about you by the words come out your mouth. Even so, the things of God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God. Now we receive not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things which are freely given to us of God, and on and on and on. So I know then that I'm saved. I know that I'm sealed. I know that I'm a son of God. How do I know? God said it. I believe it. That settles it. I'm sealed. Just as the Holy Spirit said, this is my beloved Son, the Holy Spirit through the Bible said, this is my beloved Son. Christ in you, the hope of glory. I know that I'm a child of God. How do I know? God said I am in His Bible. Why? I met the conditions that have to be met to be a child of God. What? I believe on Jesus Christ, believing that He died for my sins, was buried, and rose again. Sealed. All right? Sealing is by word of mouth. Sealing is by the Word of Almighty God. And there are numerous other passages. There isn't time to cover them all. In fact, I think about Paul when he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. I can say the same thing. I am crucified with Christ. How do I know that? God said that I was. When Jesus Christ died, I judicially died at Calvary. And on and on and on, you see. Now, with these things in mind, there are three things I want to refer to. A, sealing denotes ownership. God doesn't seal anybody that doesn't belong to Him. God does not give His Spirit to anybody that doesn't belong to Him. So it denotes ownership. 1 Corinthians chapter 6. In 1 Corinthians 6, verse 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own? For you are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and your spirit, which are His. Go, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. in 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Sealing denotes ownership. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His, and let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Well, who are those that are His? Those that were purchased by the blood of Christ at Calvary. Who are they? Those that testify that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that died for their sins, is buried and rose again. They're the ones. They belong to the Lord. You see, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The word Lord means owner. Jesus means Jehovah Savior. Christ means anointed. I believe that Jesus Christ at Calvary bought me with His blood. He's the Savior. Anointed. Jehovah Savior. Jehovah Savior, hang on the cross. Therefore, He's my Lord. How's that? He bought me. He purchased me. I belong to Him. He arose from the dead. He's anointed. You know, last Wednesday night we talked here about Jesus Christ's second coming as in the sense of the Son of Man. Paul never refers to it. Did you ever check out the verses concerning the coming of the Lord where Paul? It's the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ the Lord. Over and over. Check it out. The rapture is when the Lord Himself comes, not the Son of Man. That's when He called. Who? The Lord Jesus Christ. Hence, Paul said to Timothy, remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David is raised from the dead according to my gospel. Makes a difference. You see, Jesus Christ in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is referred to as the Son of Man. Paul refers to Him as God, as very God, as the image of very God, and on and on and on. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You're bought with a price. Sealing denotes recognition. Same verse, 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. The Lord knoweth them that are His. How do I know which can is peas? Well, it's got the seal on it. How do I know which one's tomato? Got the seal on it. God's seal is on every child of God, in Him. The Holy Spirit is in Him. And His testimony is that Christ died for His sins. If His testimony is not that Christ died for His sins, then He isn't sealed. Hence, he believes he can lose his salvation. Listen to me. He believes he can lose his salvation. Everyone you know about in Pensacola, Florida, go and ask them. The old 90-something-year-old man that sat back there that Wednesday night told us about his salvation and everything, and I questioned him about it, and I asked him then, is there something you could do that caused you to go to hell? And he said, yeah. So the point was, how are you going to stay saved then? He said he had to repent of his sins every day and confess his sins every day. You heard him say it. He isn't sealed. It's a pitiful situation. Thousands of people in Pensacola, Florida, that confess that they believe that Jesus is the Son of God, but they do not believe with all their heart that Jesus Christ died for every last single sin. And some of them believe that, and they're afraid to preach it because they're afraid that the people who are saved by His grace will leave, won't come back anymore because they say, well, we don't need you anymore. And that is a possibility. So what I want to go back there for? I'm saved, sealed, and whatever. I'm going to heaven when I die. I don't need to go back there. All right, the last thing. The sealing denotes security. Look in Philippians chapter 1. This man is sealed. Look what he said. In Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Come to chapter 2. Who is he that worketh in you? Verse 12. Wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. In other words, work it, act it out, perform it out, not work for it. Verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you, both the will and do his good pleasure, and on and on. Turn, please, to 2 Timothy. In 2 Timothy chapter 1, and look at the words of the old man here. He's getting ready to die. He can see the gallows, and he knows the day that they're going to cut his head off. He said in verse 11, referring to the gospel, whereunto I'm appointed a preacher, an apostle, a teacher of the Gentiles, for the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I'm not ashamed. For I know whom I believed, and am persuaded that he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. Why? I know whom I believed. How do I know whom I believe? You see, even without the Bible in the prison, if they put me in prison tomorrow, and I stayed in there 10 years from now, I could say, I know whom I believed, and I'm persuaded he's able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Why? The seal of the Holy Spirit is in me, and the Spirit of God in me will always confess Christ as Lord and Savior, believing that he died for my sins, was buried and rose again. No doubt about it. Are you sealed? You have doubts about your salvation? If you do, why? Do you not know whether Christ died for your sins? So I haven't quite made up my mind yet. Then you never will. It's not a matter of you making up your mind. The wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. It's a matter of you forgetting about making up your mind, quit fooling around with it, and commit your salvation to Christ and trust Him as your Lord and Savior and be done with it. Last night out at the racetrack, I was talking to a driver out there, and the ultimate end of our conversation, I gave him an illustration. I told him about working at Brookley Field. There was a situation there where F-84 airplanes, jet planes, have the elevator and the rudder back there over the tailpipe so that hydraulic fluid would leak down onto the tailpipe and cause a fire. And so it was our job to seal that up there, fix it so it didn't leak. Well, I and some other fellows would meet together at lunch and whatever, and we'd study our Bibles together, and we had testimonies of Christ being our Savior and all that kind of thing. And so one day it just dawned on me, and there were two young men that worked in the same line that I was in, and they were always real smart alecks and sarcastic, you know, and whatever about what I believed. And so I said, I'll tell you what, let's do, let's try something. You take the first airplane that we're going to do that and seal it. You do the job on it. I'll take the next one, and I'll guarantee you that mine won't leak. Yours probably will. They just like, why? I said, because I have somebody that will help me. While I'm laying in that thing in there, looking up there, and working with my hands, there is somebody that will be helping me. They thought that's the funniest thing they ever heard. I said, Jesus Christ will give me the wisdom to do the job right. So, to make a long, we did it. They took the first one. And after it was finished, water by the buckets full was poured into these compartments. And when they did, it ran out inside. It was just spewing out all around in there. Aha! So the next one was mine. I prayed just about all night, the night before I was to do that thing. And I said, Lord, I know that you have the power to give me the wisdom to do this, so that I will do the right thing at the right time, and all this will work out just exactly right, and you get the glory for it. went out there the next day and I crawled up there in that thing that morning and started to work. I forgot, it seemed like there was 200 or 300 screws that were in that thing up there. And I started to work. Well, the word had gotten around the hangar that this was happening. So they finally took the plane when I finished it, put the water in there, and not a drop came out. They said, coincidence. Okay, you take the next one, I'll take the fourth one. So they took the third one. Boy, they got on with that one now. They really did a job up on that one. And they put the water in there, and it had 2 or 3 leaks. Well, by that time, when I got into my airplane, would you believe people in the hangar were making bets? Oh, they were. They were gambling out there outside the airplane while I was working in there as to whether it was going to leak or not. Well, I had really prayed about the thing. And see, this had become a real issue in that whole hangar by this time. And so I just relaxed and did the job and trusted the Lord. And when I finished that thing and they put that water in there, it didn't even get damp. You know what the moral of that is? Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him and He'll direct your paths. And I was telling that young man, he's a driver out there. He's a Christian. And I said, when you sit down in that seat, commit yourself to the Lord. I said, don't worry about this now. If you get out there and you think that God, you just say, now, is the Lord directing me now? I said, it don't work that way. You just commit it to the Lord and trust that the Lord is going to cause you to turn that wheel right, use your pedals right, whatever, and on. And he said, that's the greatest I never dreamed of such a thing as that. It works wherever you are. But it won't work if you don't have the Holy Spirit. And you don't have the Holy Spirit if you don't believe that Christ died for your sins, was buried, and rose again. People never get the picture. Think about it. Wouldn't you rather have it so that you don't need to fear about tomorrow? You don't need to fear whether you're going to have enough money to make it through or not? Wouldn't it be better to have something or someone that can comfort you and cause you to relax and say, I can't see the end out there, but I know the Lord and He knows the end and He's taking care of me. Sealed by the Holy Spirit. You don't ever have to lay on a couch somewhere and pay some fellow $50 an hour to listen to you talk. Instead, get on your knees and let a man at the right hand of the Father listen to you talk.